Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're turning to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles. We're going to experience a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the third message in our series on recovery. Here's Paul Chapel.
The world is imperfect, and all of us have been hurt. All of us have habits that need to be changed. Every one of us need to experience the awesome power of God's amazing grace. There are children here this morning and teenagers and adults who have felt the pain of rejection, who have felt the pain of abuse, alcoholism, the trials and hurts of divorce. And many today are trying to deal with these hurts and problems in ways that are not according to the Scripture and are not ways in which they will find God's amazing grace. Some Americans today are turning to inward thoughts and continuously thinking about their problems to the point of depression. And as they are self-centered and thinking of their self and of their problems and of their past so constantly, depression is the result. Others aren't so inward about it. They're more outward about it, and they express themselves with rage and anger and hatred. And we've seen the extreme cases of this with shootings in the schools and other such tragedies that seem to make the news constantly. In reality today, hurting people are hurting people all over America because they have not found the recovery that is available in Jesus Christ. We're told that 85% of all of the men serving time in California State Penitentiary today grew up in a home where there was no father, grew up in a situation that many times created early on problems in their life. Now, we're not advocating the fact that someone should blame their past problems for their present failures. In fact, we're advocating the fact that by recovering through the grace of God, they can have a wonderful life found in Jesus Christ. And so today, we continue on this important subject of recovery. You see, oftentimes, as we learned last week, because of the hurts and disappointments of life, great insecurities come into the hearts of a man or a woman. And those insecurities cause us to desire some way to control our problems, to control our environment so that we'll never have to face a problem like that again in our life. But the more we try to control our situation, the more we become filled with frustration and fatigue and ultimately failure. Others don't really try the pathway of control, but they try the pathway of denial. They act like nothing ever happened, there's no problem, and to solve their problems in reality, they just act like nothing is really wrong in their heart and in their life. I read a newspaper ad some time ago, and it said, "Lost, a three-legged dog, blind right eye, left ear missing, broken tail, answers to the name of Lucky." Now that's an illustration of denial. You know, the fact of the matter is that all of us have trials and hurts in our life and in our lives. And last week we learned that in order to overcome those hurts and those subsequent habits of control or denial, we must first of all recognize our need for God. All of us need to say, "God, I need you. I need your help in my life." And we must first recognize that need. Today we're going to see the second step on the road to spiritual recovery, and that is to experience a meaningful relationship with God. We must first recognize our need for God, and secondly, we must experience a meaningful relationship with God. Now, this morning, we're going to see some truths that are basic but wonderfully refreshing as we review them, and others that I trust will be new and helpful as we continue this study. The first thing I want you to be reminded of this morning is that you can know God. You can know God. Now, isn't that a blessing this morning? You know, so many people in this world just don't know Him, and they have all these strange ideas about God being an old man up in heaven on a rocking chair with a long beard and a big club and just waiting to smack you when you get out of line. But I'm telling you this morning, that's not the God I know. He's a wonderful, wonderful Creator, a wonderful and loving Savior today. And you can know Him, and you can trust Him. And I want you to see this morning that you can know God, first of all, through His Son. Through His Son. You know, it's a wonderful fact that Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Spirit of God, conceived of the Spirit, born of Mary in Bethlehem's manger. And when we think about that fact, we're reminded of the doctrine and of the truth behind it, that God became man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ came down to say to all of us, "I love you. I want you to know me. I want you to realize that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." God wants to know you. God created Adam for the purpose of fellowship. He wants to have a relationship with you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says it this way, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Listen to this next phrase, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Jesus Christ was the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was the manifestation of God for us. And so Jesus Christ comes and He says, "I love you and I want you to know God through me." And we recognize that we have the redemption of our sins through Jesus Christ. And when our sins are forgiven, then we have access to a holy and high heavenly Father, access that was not available to us except for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the author of Hebrews said it this way in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He hath made the worlds." And so it says, God, who spoke to us in times past by the prophets, has spoken to us in these days by His Son. And so we can know God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Americans are rather incurably religious. In other words, there's a lot of religion in the land. In fact, a recent Gallup poll indicated once again that only 2% of the people in America would say that they don't believe that there is a God. Most people in America believe that there is a God, but most people in America don't know God. You see, you can be religious and not know Him. You can even be a church member and not know Him. You can pray and not know Him. And I'm not criticizing religion. I believe that there's a pure religion James speaks about, and undefiled before God and the fatherless and so forth. And religion is good, but religion that is not emphasizing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is a religion that is missing the central theme of the Bible. For the central theme of the Bible is that God became man and dwelt among us, and that He then died upon the cross for our sins in order that we through Him might know God, you see. You can know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, many people this morning have false evaluations of God. Their evaluations of God are based on their disappointment with an authority figure in their life some years ago. Their evaluations of God are based upon their disappointment with organized religion. Boy, we hear that one a lot. You know, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, they believe in organized credit unions and organized banks. Organized Walmarts, but you know, folks have had, they've had bad experiences with religion and with authority figures in their lives. But the fact of the matter is today that regardless of the past experience, the past evaluation, we can know God's nature today. And you know, you're exactly right. It's not revealed through organized religion. It's not revealed through man-made institutions. God's nature is revealed through a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, this church cannot save you. This church cannot give you a relationship with God. Only through Jesus Christ can we have a relationship with God. One of my favorite stories that illustrates this truth is the story of the plantation in a southern state back at the turn of the century. And as the plantation owner had passed away, and as he had no heirs to give the plantation to, a great auction was held. And as folks came from near and far to the auction, they were eyeing various pieces of farm equipment and various artifacts and pieces of furniture. And several hundred people gathered round as the auctioneer stood behind his desk and began to prepare for the auction. As they gathered in, he slammed his gavel down and he called the auction to order. The very first thing that the man in charge, the auctioneer, did was to bring a painting up, a painting of the son of the man who owned the plantation. And as the plantation owner's son's picture was displayed, the auctioneer said, "All right, this is the first item. Who'll give me a dollar for this item? Who'll give me a dollar?" And the folks were kind of disgruntled that this was the first thing. There were so many other more valuable and interesting items for sale in the auction, they thought. And so the auctioneer said, "Who'll give me a dollar? Who'll give me a dollar?" No one gave a dollar. In fact, some people even cried out from the audience, "We don't want this picture. Throw it away. Let's get to the other things." And they were disgusted that this was even really being considered. Well, there was one man in the back of that crowd. He was a black gentleman who had served as a slave in that plantation. That particular man had come to know the family through his years. In fact, he had been allowed such freedom and encouragement by this particular plantation owner that he felt very endeared to the family. They had treated him well. He was a Christian man who that stood there, and he knew the grace of God. And so finally, as he saw the picture of that son, and as he reminisced about the time when he was born and how he grew and then how he died, That slave stood to the front and he raised his hand. He said, "I'll give a dollar. I'll give a dollar." And the plantation owner's son was there on the picture, and the slave, having offered the dollar and the crowd becoming jittery, the auctioneer said, "Sold to the man for $1. And then the auctioneer did something that folks had never seen at an auction before. He took out an envelope. He opened that envelope. He said, before I can go on, the instructions of the will tell me to read the contents of this envelope. And he read, and the envelope was signed by the plantation owner, and it said, to the person who purchases the picture of my son, I leave my entire estate. And folks, I want you to recognize, to the person this morning who puts his faith in Jesus Christ, God gives to you an eternal home in heaven, the forgiveness of your sin. You can have a relationship with God, and it is through the Son. You can know God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know God, secondly, this morning, through the Word of God. You can know Him through His Word. Now, the reason that we open up this book this morning, the reason we stood a moment ago in reverence to the Word of God, the reason we preach from the Word of God and teach from the Word of God, is because we believe that the Bible reveals God to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the Word of God manifests God to us. Now, the fact of the matter is that we give attention to it because it reveals God to us. I heard about a man that went to the doctor recently for a snoring problem. Any of you have that problem? You want to confess that sin this morning? And it seems like the allergy season comes in and that becomes a problem for us. And man went into the doctor for a snoring problem. The doctor said to him, he said, is this causing problems in your marriage, this snoring problem? And the man thought about it. He said, no, it's primarily just an embarrassment to my wife. The real problem is the distraction it causes to my pastor in church. And, a lot of folks struggle with that problem, but the fact of the matter is, I hope most of us are here to pay attention to the Word of God today, right? So we can get something from the Bible that tells us about God and how we can know Him. Now, 2 Peter is the classic passage, and why don't we go ahead and turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter number 1, and let's see how the Bible reveals God to us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 19, the Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. By the way, there are many various alleged scriptures in the world today, but I'm thankful this morning I am preaching to you from a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You can study that term day star and cross-reference to the book of Revelation, and you'll find that it is a term referring to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what this tells us is that the Word of God, which is a more sure word of prophecy, will help us to have our way lightened, and it will lead us to the light of the world, the day star, which is Jesus Himself. Then it says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. My friend, we believe as Christians and as Baptists this morning that the Bible is God's inerrant, infallible Word. Our words are subjected to the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that this book came to us as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, they weren't writing their own thoughts, concepts, or philosophies. They were writing exactly what the Holy Spirit of God gave to them to write. And so, because of that, we can have the illumination or the light of the Lord Jesus shining in our hearts as we read the Word of God. Now, my friend, today, recovery programs that tell people that they need to find their inner self, that they need to try to get a hold of their inner self, are pointing them in the wrong direction. I heard about a lady who said the other day, she said, I finally got a hold of my inner self, and she was just as confused as I am. Now, the fact of the matter is we need to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can know God through Jesus Christ. And we can know God through the Word of God. Now, secondly, this morning, not only can you know God, but it gets even more exciting because once you get to know Him, you can secondly know God's attributes. You can know God's attributes. Now, obviously, this morning, we cannot cover all of the attributes of God. And those attributes are learned over a lifetime of Bible study. But I want to share three of them with you today. The first thing I want you to know about God is that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. His omniscience is a wonder to us when we consider the fact that He knows everything about everyone. He knows about all of our problems today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now I want you to ponder that for a moment. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. My friend, there's not a need you have this morning that God doesn't already know you have. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God knows about every need in your life. He knows the needs you have concerning relationships and friendship and debts and trial and sickness and pain and hurt. God knows all of it. And yet He says to us in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the average Baptist in America today is approaching this all backwards. And he's saying, God, now I really want you in my life, but first I'm going to go to the singles bar and get some companionship. And once I get a companion, then we're going to get into church, boy. Or God, I really want you in my life, but first I'm going to work three jobs to get a lot of money to get some other problems taken care of. But when I get those problems taken care of, then I'm going to get right into church, God, and take care of the other things with you that I need to take care of. Now, God says, I know what your needs are. I want you to seek me first. And I'll add those other things to your life. I can take care of your relationship issues. I can take care of your finance issues. I can take care of your family issues. But I want you to keep me in my proper place for your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so he says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God says, I know what your needs are. I want you to put me first in your life and let me take care of those needs. Psalm 56 and verse 8 tells us how much God knows about us. And this is a fascinating verse, isn't it? Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chappell and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.